The fifth story, A Pilgrim from Mesopotamia. Many of you have heard of this mighty man who was one of the first travelers and one of the earliest colonists of which the world ever knew. Some people reverently call him Old Father Abram. He was a great patriarch, and he lived far, far back in the early days, perhaps as much as 2,000 years before Jesus Christ came on the earth. Do you wonder why he was great? Why to this day the Jews think of him as the father of their country? Why legends of Abram that are not in the Bible have been told and retold by one generation to another among Jewish families? And why we, who are not Jews, think of Abram as a hero in the world's history? Perhaps the story will tell. His first home was in fine old Babylonia, and as a boy he was very likely busy learning how to write and read, studying astronomy and ways of measuring and weighing and of reckoning money, for to do all these things was common in the country where he lived. Or Abram may have stayed out of doors when he was a boy, just taking care of the sheep and the cattle in the fields, or helping to till the ground. If we traveled into southern Babylonia, we might find a village today called Megir or Machir, which is believed to be the place where Abram was born and the ancient Ur of the Chaldees. Twice in the Bible this is spoken of as Abram's birthplace and first home. Today we should see little there, besides the ruins of its great temple built to the moon god whom the people worshipped. But 2,000 years before Christ, it was an important city. It was called Ur of the Chaldees because the Chaldeans had come up from the south and conquered Babylonia. At one time they made the city of Ur their capital. In early days, these people were nomads, wandering shepherds, but by and by they built strong cities. The Babylonians, you remember, were a learned people, knowing in regard to many things as much as we do. Abram's father had three boys, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. After the boys had grown up, Terah took Abram, his son, and Sarai, Abram's wife, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, for Haran Lot's father had died some time before, and went forth from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. They traveled northwards, riding on camels by day and resting by nights on the plains, looking up to the stars overhead. Sometimes they would set up their tents for shelter and linger for some days on their way. Far off to their right they could see the snow-capped mountains, and stretching out still farther on their left were the sandy deserts of Arabia. You remember Arabia, where happened all the strange tales of the Arabian Nights. It was the home also of many of the mighty men of which these stories tell. But Terah and his family pushed on to the north along a road that had been traveled before. Beyond them were the great river Euphrates and the Tigris River, bringing their waters from the mountains to the plains below. They did not go as far as these rivers, but turned aside to stay a while in the green fields of Mesopotamia, just above Arabia. For the people of these countries of Babylon, Arabia, Mesopotamia, and Canaan beyond were neighbors, more or less connected with one another, and all were in that famous corner of southeastern Asia where lived so many mighty men of old. By and by, Terah's party came to Haran, a famous city in Mesopotamia, and dwelt there. Indeed, they stayed there for so long a time that in later years, Abram and others speak of it as his country and the home of his kindred. It is because of that that some students of the Bible think Haran must have been his first home. But in reading of the people of these countries and times around 2000 to 1500 BC in other books than the Bible, we find that the great companies and hordes of immigrants passed out from Arabia and Babylon to settle in Canaan, Egypt, and other parts, often fighting their way and conquering the land, or passing with their flocks from place to place as they found good pastures. The main road from Babylon to the Mediterranean and Egypt passed through the Euphrates Valley to Haran, and thence ran south by Canaan. This was the route the traders followed, and the most natural way for immigrants. It was likely that Terah led one of these bands of his own people, the Hebrews, from the great city of Ur, and settled in Haran because of its attractiveness. They found it was one of the important cities of the district, and round about, after the winter rains, the country was rich in green fields and flowers of every color. There the old father died without carrying out the plan he first made of going to Canaan. Great companies of warriors, shepherds, and colonists were leaving the plains of Mesopotamia for one reason and another, the wish to trade their wares, the larger opportunities of pasture land for cattle, the love of adventure and conquest led them on. But one man started out not because of any of these reasons, but because he heard God's voice calling him to go. God said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Abram obeyed, believing God's promise to bless him if he went. Like the Puritans and Pilgrims of a later day, he left the old home because of his faith. All around him in Haran were the worshippers of many gods. They bowed down before the sun, moon, and stars, and did things which Abraham knew were wrong. We do not know in what way Abram came to know God or to worship him, or how God taught him to distinguish the right things from those that were wrong. But we do know that from the time when God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, there had been men and women who knew him and worshipped him, and that by ways that would seem strange to us now, he had taught them that he was the only true God, the maker of heaven and earth. Now God bid Abram trust him and go forth, and he was brave enough to obey the command. He may have struggled over the giving up of all he left behind. There may have been years of questioning as to the right and wrong. We know only that God said unto him, "Go," and so Abram went. He gathered his household, his flocks, and his herds, and journeyed forth in search of the promised land. He was a great chief among his people, and was very likely the leader in the migration of the Hebrews from the land by the Euphrates. A patriarch was the head of a nomad tribe, and the tribe was like one great family composed of smaller ones. To this day, Arabs speak of the chief, or sheikh, as father of the tribe. Shechem was the first stopping place of Abram and his party when they came into the land of Canaan. You will see how far they had traveled if you look for this land on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea and the town of Shechem in the central part of Canaan. Dean Stanley tells us of a story of how they came and settled in their new home. He says, "All their substance they had gotten was heaped high on the back of their kneeling camels. The slaves that they had bought in Haran ran along by their sides. Round them were flocks of sheep and goats, and the asses moving beneath the towering forms of the camels. The chief was there, amidst the stir of movement, or resting at noon within his black tent, marked out from the rest by his cloak of brilliant scarlet, by the fillet of rope that bound the loose handkerchief round his head, by the spear which he held in his hand to guide the march and to fix the encampment. The chief's wife, the princess of the tribes, was there in her own tent to make the cakes and prepare the usual meal of milk and butter. The slave or the child was ready to bring in the red lentil soup for the weary hunter, or to kill the calf for the unexpected guest. It was a beautiful country to which they came, with its mountains and valleys. Looking over the land, they had a fine view. In the distance was the central range. At one of this range were two hills, Ebal and Gerizim, and in the valley between them they found Shechem. It was an interesting little place, nestling between the two hills and shut away from the rest of the world. Abram's flocks of sheep and herds of goat were soon grazing about on the uplands. Near Shechem was a well-known landmark and meeting place, the Oak of Moreh. Here travelers would stop and rest a while and talk with each other. Think of Abram as he sat under that tree. Once more he heard the voice of his God giving him a promise. "Unto thy seed will I give this land." That is, your children and your children's children shall possess this country in which you have pitched your tents. "Go and walk through the length and breadth of it, for I will surely give it unto your people who come after you. Many trees were sacred to the people of that land in time. Probably this oak tree was one of the holy places. They thought that here they came nearer to the unseen spirits, and the priests often sat under these trees to give instruction. Here Abram builded an altar unto Jehovah. He gathered large stones and erected his altar by keeping these stones together. Then he brought his offering of a lamb or goat for the morning and evening sacrifice, and called upon the name of Jehovah. Having talked with God, he was stronger to go forward. After a time the caravan moved on, and Abram pitched his tents on the mountainside between Bethel and Ai. He said to himself, I must pass through the land and see what kind of place this is. Again he left an altar behind him as he journeyed on toward the south. Like the traveler who leaves his mark behind him as he makes his way through the forest, so Abram wanted to leave something by which others who came that way might remember God. After staying there a while, a famine came upon the land. There was not enough food for his people or his flocks. So Abram decided to leave Canaan and to go down into Egypt. Just before he reached Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon, and it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake. When Abram came into Egypt, the princes of the king's household saw Sarai. They told Pharaoh the king how beautiful she was, and she was taken into Pharaoh's house. He gave presents to Abram because of Sarai, sheep and oxen, men servants and maid servants. Then great plagues came upon Pharaoh and his house. They were ill with some kind of disease. In some way Pharaoh learned that Abram had deceived him. He was angry and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. This is the one time that we know of when Abram fell and was a coward. He was afraid, and so he told a lie. Abram then went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and his nephew Lot, to Canaan. Back to Bethel they went, where he had before pitched his tents and built his altar. While in Egypt he had grown very rich. He had many cattle and much silver and gold. Lot also had flocks and herds and tents. There was not enough pasturage for all the animals, and soon the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle quarreled. We see again Abram's faith and courage and his unselfishness. He said to Lot, Let there be no strife between me and thee, and between thy herdsmen and my herdsmen. Is not the whole land before thee? If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou take the right hand, then I will go to the left. Who had the better right to choose, the uncle or the nephew? Abram was unselfish enough to let Lot make the choice. Lot went out, and looking over the plains of Jordan, he saw it was well watered everywhere. The river Jordan flowed through the plain, and Lot knew that it made the soil good and the pasture land rich. This is the best place, he said. I will take it. After Lot had separated from him, God again spoke to Abram, as he had spoken before, saying, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Seed is another word for descendants. Those who came after Abram were to have the land for their own. Abram looked and saw a fair country, and he was glad. He moved his tents and encamped near the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. Most likely he made his home there for many years. To this day the name of the old patriarch is remembered in Hebron. It is a very ancient city and probably the oldest in Canaan. Abram must have loved the place, so many interesting things happened to him there, of which our next story will tell. and many other mighty men of old had to do with Hebron. The place by the Oaks of Mamre had been thought of by the passers-by as one of those sacred places where the gods came and dwelt. "Here," said Abram, "I will set up another altar to God, and let people know of him whom I worship." So this pilgrim of the early days led the way for others and showed them what to do. Because he bravely did what he believed God wanted him to do, he became the leader of his people, and his name has been honored for thousands of years.